Zen, and the art of accident prevention. Don't overlook the simple stuff. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Arrow News. Welcome into the Arrow News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. My guest is Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves, the journal for the proficient pilot. We're here to have our Monday chat about safety issues from Bob's sometimes unique perspective. Bob, we appreciate your being here.
Thanks, Paul. It's my pleasure.
Zen and the Art of Accident Prevention. This is an article that appeared in the August issue of Over the Airwaves, which folks can find at overtheairwaves.com. And you used this very famous book and a story from it as kind of a metaphor for something that went wrong in an aircraft accident. Tell us about that relationship.
Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance is a book written in the 1960s. It tells a story of a father and a 16-year-old son driving across the country in a motorcycle. The engine failed in the middle of the night. What they had simply forgotten to do was to switch to the reserve tank because they heard gas sloshing in the engine. But not realizing that, they went through a long and laborious process of changing spark plugs, rebuilding the carburetor, rebuilding the engine, when really all they had to do was switch on the reserve tank, much like the old original Volkswagens. In this case, we have a pilot who suffered an engine failure in flight. It was a single-engine Bonanza. And rather than running the checklist, rather than doing the simple memory items first, which in most cases is taught, switch fuel tanks, turn on the backup fuel pump, those two items first, he didn't do either of those and instead opted to make an emergency off-field landing. Unfortunately, the off-field landing did not work out as planned. He killed himself and his passenger. Zen in the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance says, you know, look for the simple, the obvious, the very basic things first when something goes wrong. And in an airplane, most of us are taught, pull the checklist. If an engine fails in flight, we have enough time to pull the checklist, unless we're in a, you know, on takeoff or short final, something like that. Pull the checklist, and we should memorize those engine failure first two options. Switch fuel tanks. Turn on the backup fuel pump. That will solve a large percentage of the engine failure problems.
Well,
had he done this?
There is something called, there's a principle called Occam's razor that posits that in most cases, the most obvious or logical thing is going to be the cause of whatever is at issue. And so, you know, I guess even if you hadn't memorized a checklist, and I'm going to probably get into trouble with this comment, but you know, some checklists appear to be bloated by the suggestions of well-meaning safety investigators or attorneys who want to make sure that if you're going to have an emergency checklist, you don't miss anything because whatever you do, don't wind up in court over it. But there are a few things that are probably universal to almost all aircraft, and you may have mentioned one just now.
Yeah, I mean, switch fuel tanks. Not all airplanes operate off of a both kind of a system. You know, a lot of airplanes, particularly more sophisticated airplanes, have multiple fuel tanks, and you have to manage the fuel tanks properly. So first thing you do, switch fuel. As soon as the engine quits, switch fuel tank. It could be a blockage. It could be an empty tank. The second thing you do is recognize that the mechanical engine-driven fuel pump may have failed. So switch on the backup pump. Now, after doing those two items and you cannot get a restart, then, okay, now we have a situation where we're going to have to look for an off-field landing site. But at least go through those first two items first. The simple, obvious things first. And in this particular case, this did not occur. Even on a takeoff, Paul, you could be 500 feet above the ground on takeoff and the engine fails. Instinctively, reach down, switch fuel tanks, throw on the boost pump. I mean, those should be taught to us as primary students almost as a mantra. Instinctively, you know, we talk about instincts in a previous broadcast, but instinctively grab those two items, switch fuel tanks, boost pump on.
I learned to fly in Aronca Champs, very basic, simple World War II era tail draggers, and there was no boost pump. There was no no tank to switch. And so, you know, that obviously that part of it got left out. We were pretty much taught, as I'm sure a lot of people are, that when the noise stops, the first thing you do is establish best glide speed and start looking around at what's under you. Look for indications of wind and so forth. And when I think back to Flight 1549 and, you know, where Sully and Skiles landed on the Hudson River, I think about what they were going through, and I even listened to those radio transmissions on that recording, and I hear kind of the same thing going on. There isn't going to always be a lot of time. Is it reasonable to suggest to people that they take however many seconds away from the process of finding an appropriate emergency landing spot to try these things on an emergency checklist? Or is that altitude dependent? Or how do you balance that?
Very good point. If we learn on an Aronca Champ and there's only one fuel source and there's no fuel pump, that's where we can develop some bad habits, because more often than not, later on, we're going to be flying some more sophisticated airplanes. This is where I think a simulator, and I've been, you know, I've not been the greatest fan of simulators, but simulators are wonderful tools for teaching emergency procedures. And we're using them more and more in our own flight school for just this very thing. We'll fail an engine, and we'll look at the student and say, all right, switch that fuel tank. Turn the fuel boost pump on. Get those two things going first. Number one, always. And then even if you, 30, you know, the Sully landing in the river, if you listen to those tapes very carefully, there was some thought going on. You could tell. They were being very methodical, trying to figure out what do they have, what can they work. Let's work the process. Let's work the system. Think it through. Fly the airplane. You know, an engine failure at altitude, some might regard as an emergency. A glider pilot, Paul, doesn't consider that an emergency at all. He doesn't have an engine to begin with. So let's just work the problem, think it through, and then eventually we may have to make an off-field landing, and then, well, we'll do that. But that's the last of the possible alternatives that we should be thinking about.
Well, Bob, that was going to be my next question, and you've just answered that, and that is, how do you train for that sort of thing? And I think that may be a case where simulators are a great thing. We appreciate your perspective as always and for writing about these things, and we will talk to you again next Monday.
Thanks, Paul.
You can find the latest edition of Bob Miller's newsletter online and register for a free email notice every time a new one comes out at overtheairwaves.com. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.